condition, my condition was in.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
Found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
Tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new... So, you know, that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
The f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Well, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. She's Stephanie Koenigan today. As she is every Tuesday. We have Jay-Z on the board. Switching off with Manny Weber because Manny's getting his finger fixed today. Dr. Billy, he had it fixed and he's getting the pins out and he's going to be good to go. Next year we have our outfield back together. What do you think, Steph? Can't go without our center fielder. He's our man. And SP Futures down 650. Dow Futures down 76. NASDAQ Futures down 28. So we got a really good team. One guy moves to New York and Matty breaks his finger. So all of a sudden we don't have much of a team. Not a good thing. Especially when you're not getting me in the outfield. Let's just say that's not happening.
Isn't your season almost over?
A couple of more Sundays. I didn't get to play yesterday because I was, or Sunday because I was hauling stuff for construction. Thomas, you with us, buddy?
I am. Chief, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. You're good. Thomas has been a producer, still will be on occasion, but he's also a fantasy football guy, and since everybody's involved in this, thought maybe we'd grill Thomas a little bit, and hey, not only on a couple of picks, but basically how things works and as how this evolves, because there's gambling, and for those that don't know, there's a lot of gambling in fantasy football as well, and is there...
Well, Chief, it's a game of sport. It's a game of... actual, as they put it, talent. There's actually a skill set required. It's not gambling, quote unquote.
when your team wins, you think it's skill. When you don't, you think it's luck, as I recall.
Possibly. Well, yeah. Only when I'm playing Matt Weber, but that's a whole another story.
Well, obviously, the investment world is seeking, and Steph and I have talked about this. The investment world is seeking to see. A, is there going to be a lot of money in this gambling? And B, who's going to get it? Because it's not all clear in Illinois who's going to get it. Boy, Steph, what do you think? Is it going to be the casinos? Is it going to be the state? Is it going to be the racetracks? I mean, there's nothing, no clue in that. But are the same people involved in the fantasy, Thomas, that are going to be involved in the regular betting, or no? Is it a totally different group?
Well, so, yeah, it's interesting, right? Especially when you're referring to the daily fantasy sports. I tend to try to utilize games that have high numbers as far as from Vegas when you see a total that's in the 55, you know, 50 plus range. I'm going to identify players in those games that I can utilize in lineups that I construct in order to get good lineups and players who you can value in a certain type of way.
Well, take us through the money path. I don't know if you are necessarily. I never asked you, but if you want to be in the, I won't say high stakes, but at least some stakes money. How does the money work? It's not a whole season thing, is it?
So you go to a site and you have several different options. You can play in what's called these tournament type games where there's thousand upon thousand. It's basically like a lottery ticket. You pick, they give you a certain amount of valuation money that you utilize towards certain players. So each player has a set number. Let's say Aaron Rodgers is 8,000, so out of your salary cap, quote unquote, you have to then you know, team him with other players who, so it's not like you're getting all the premium players. What you need to do as a fantasy guy is be able to pick out the values. You know, it's in some respects, it's kind of like picking stocks. You need to know your quality stocks, but you need to know the penny stocks too. You need to know the guy who is going to get a start this week because someone's hurt, or you know, the defense is weak on guarding the slot receiver. And sometimes you just need to get a Mitchell Trubisky type game and, you know, be able to, you know, just to come out of nowhere. And that's who won the $1 million contest this last week was a lineup constructed with Mitchell Trubisky.
So how much do you pony up for this? Can you, are each game a certain amount of money?
Yeah, so each contest is different. You could also do with like head to head. So let's say me and you wanted to get into a contest. I think I could pick a better lineup than you. You can do anything. You could do a $1, you could do a $2, you could do $100, you could do $1,000.
Do you have any idea what the
So question, do you guys cuz I, you know, I've played a little bit of fantasy football in my earlier years, and my question is there are leagues where you pick a team and then it's sort of like you draft a team and then you hold the team for the season and you may trade some with other people within the league you're playing. Is that kind of what you're referring to, or do you kind of do more of this on a game by game basis?
Well, so this is what I'm referring to specifically right now is the Daily Fantasy. These are the sites that you see that are sponsored, that get sponsorships, since you see at Wrigley now. And I still do the traditional, you know, leagues where we all get together. Everyone has players that you keep through the whole season and you add and drop and
right.
You build your team that way. But what I'm referring to is each game or each week, you basically roll out a whole new team. You figure out what matchups, what games you're going to want to try to pound, for lack of a better term, and say, I'm going to try to get three or four guys from this game because I know that it's going to be like a shootout game. So,
got it. So are you competing against others then for players, or is it just you pick a lineup and they pick a lineup and your lineup goes against their lineup?
Yeah, it's basically that. Okay. So there's different formats. Like I was stating earlier, you can do like head-to-head,
mm-hmm.
where it's me versus you. You pick your lineup, I pick mine, and the winner, whoever scores the most points with their lineup, wins the amount that we agree upon.
Got it.
What do you think, Thomas? What do you think the take is for the house? I mean, if everybody puts a thousand guys up 100.
So if me and you both throw in $5, the winner gets, I believe it's $9, and the house takes $1.
So, do you say the house takes $1 and the winners take $9? So they get 10%.
Correct.
They get 10%. Okay. So it's like a regular wager.
Yeah, I would guess so.
Okay, because there's been some of the stuff, like the horses take, what, 15 stuff, and Vegas on the straight bets takes really 1/11th, right?
I trust your judgment on this. I don't know.
See, when you say the weekly, you ever pick crap stuff?
Yeah, badly, but yeah.
Well, you know the people who bet the come line? You know why they bet the come line? Because they can't wait for the pass line to win or lose. They got to do something in the middle. Well, that's... You ask a question about the season-long people. These are the guys that not only want to do the season, they want to do one this week.
Right.
So makes it's sense. A they got well, the quick
no,
twitch.
But also for the tournament stuff, so the winnings have a higher potential, right? Like I said, it's kind of like winning a lottery ticket. It's like kind of playing a lotto with an actual, you know, understanding of the predicted outcomes.
So you need a serious outlier game like the Trubisky game, and that's a winner.
Yeah, so you need some relatively low-owned player, someone who not a lot of the field is going to be looking at, and they just have a big game.
What, just for instance, last Sunday, if Aaron Rodgers was $80,000, what was Trubisky, 20, 10?
No, he would be about $5,000.
Really?
He'd have been the lowest quarterbacks tend to be about 5,000. I'm sure there's some kind of algorithm, there's some sort of method that they put, so you just can't, you know, like throw a $200 quarterback and then you get 8 premium other players. Like, because that would be a thing too, right? Like, I'm not even going to worry about this particular position. I'm just going to get six players that are the top players in every other position and kind of fade the other spot.
Well, I imagine it would follow that if Aaron Rodgers is 80,000 points or $80,000, whatever you want to call it, that his wide receivers would be high too, because obviously he's got to throw to somebody.
Exactly. So, yeah, you can't just say, I'm going to take Aaron, the whole Packers offense. Now, it's called stacking. So you stack, right? So, you know, a good stack would be like Drew Brees and his top wide receiver, Thomas.
Yeah.
So you stack those guys together, but then that takes probably 20% of your salary that you can use. You still have.
So you've got a salary.
The
yeah.
Position.
Okay. Yeah, you got a salary. So, Thomas, before we let you go, because we're going to try and have Thomas back on Thursdays to talk about actual picks on the week, because Thursday is the day you got to do your weekly stuff. Is there a name that's like a company name that's like making a lot of money on this that somebody can invest in or should invest in or not invest in? Or, I mean, are there two companies that are public, or are they just anybody online? You don't even know who the hell they are.
So right now, I'm not sure about if they are publicly. I'll do some research, and then when I come back on Thursday, I'll bring some more information about the organizations, but DraftKings is where I'm at. I play on there on a weekly basis. There's also another FanDuel is another one. So I have to do some research on the actual organizations. But yeah, if they're publicly traded, I would recommend. They're not going anywhere. I mean, especially now with sports betting being legal, there's no way that Bailey won't.
Well, the question is, who's your pick for? Obviously, there's people who think that these guys that have the online presence, the FanDuel and those guys, are going to get the sports betting. There's other people who are going to think only the established casinos are going to get it. Some people think the horse tracks are going to get it. And some people think, like the video poker in the bars, that the state just grabs it. I mean, there's like a five-person multiple choice on this stuff. It's kind of weird. I think FanDuel would like to think
that. I'm always going to go with the government or the state. To get at least a piece of it.
Oh, God, yeah.
I don't really know if they'll run it, but, yeah, I definitely think that it's going to run through them in some capacity.
All right, Thomas, thank you. We'll talk to you Thursday. We'll get a couple of picks.
All right.
Maybe make a few bucks at this. What do you think, Steph?
I'm looking forward to that.
That's the hope.
Yep. Steph, what do you think about Walmart raising minimum wage, $15?
Amazon did, too.
I'm sorry. Amazon.
Oh.
Amazon. Major Tesla shareholder Ron Barron, whoever he is, investors would benefit if Elon Musk tweeted less. Do you think the country might be better off if somebody tweeted less?
I think it may be actually a new phase, or people realize that tweeting less might be good.
Well, you think anybody's going to, I don't know, what do you make of this, the Friday deadline? And I think this court guy's in trouble. The pressure this is putting on the FBI after six investigations to come up with something on the seventh. What a mess.
This is a mess. I mean, you know, aside from all of the backstory and all the things that started this off, I'm to a point where, at this point, I watched my whole office actually stopped. You know, I sit in an office with roughly, you know, 700 people. And
that's a number.
Yeah.
It's like a trading floor.
It's huge. It's, you know, it's in a merchandise mart here. It's like half a floor. So I sit in an office, and that during that whole the testimony for both, half of my office was standing there watching the TV most of the day. So, I mean, that kind of made an impression on me. I knew people cared, but I didn't really realize that it was kind of stopping business and really, you know, and I'm proud of people for taking the time to really look at where our future and our country's going. So it made a big impression on me. But the thing now for me is that I watched his testimony, and there are just some things based on your books and then the...
All right, Steph, I got to interrupt just for a quick second. When you, but don't lose that thought. Are people watching because they care about the country, or it's just entertainment?
No, I think this one is. I mean, to be honest, if you looked at those two testimony, I don't think either of them were particularly entertaining. I would say Kavanaugh's behavior was a little more erratic, so possibly more entertaining. But I didn't find either of them particularly entertaining. Now, maybe that's me.
Okay, but I think for a lot of people, what's going on, the fighting is becoming entertaining, and that really bothers me. It's almost like a, we don't care if it's government. It's, and I get so many people that write into me here from the, they spend their whole day digging out articles from some esoteric left or right thing where I, you know, I don't believe any of it, either side. And admit that's, they spend hours a day in this battle between the, you know, the Hatfields and the McCoys. And I just, it's becoming lives for people. It's becoming a TV show.
I was listening to the radio last night. I don't remember who it was, but somebody, there was some statistics on the internet how much news is actually truly fake news, like not real, right? And they said there was a percentage of more untrue information on the internet than true, which I think all of us can believe, but that in the human psyche, if you heard something that was ridiculous once, okay, so you kind of dissuade that, but the statistic was something like 30% of people who heard the same statistic again twice actually started to consider it. And the more times you heard that same ridiculous statement, the more likely you were to start believing it. And if we watch a lot of politicians and tweeters and all sorts of other different people out there keep saying the same thing over and over and over again, whether it's true or not, you watch personal perception or country perception change. It's kind of scary.
People hate it when I say this, and I hate it when I say it too. The Nazis, mm-hmm, were masters at it.
Oh, they were.
And you know what? Human beings don't change. I'm sure the Romans did the same thing. There are people that I talk to that will, they kind of talk, oh, that's fake news. How would you know fake news if you saw it? If you, neither one of us were there at any one of these things that were, no, it's fake news. I mean, everybody knows that on the left it's fake news. Well, no, everybody doesn't know it.
Right.
What you know is the president says it every day. And eventually it starts to hit a chord. I mean, how many people, you know, guess what I did yesterday, Steph?
What'd you do?
This has nothing to do with entertainment. I didn't find any women coming to wild parties, but
no.
Kevin sent me a list of the essentially the NAFTA trade agreement. I'm up to about page 65.
Oh, I wanted
this. This is something. If I'm going to read off about four of these just on the one page.
I've been wondering what's in that.
You know what? Let's put it this way: de gras, residues resulting from the treatment of fatty substances or animal or vegetable waxes.
That's important.
Prepared or preserved liver of any animal other than goose. Prepared or preserved
safe.
Yeah, prepared or preserved meat or meat offal of ducks, geese, or guineas. Nesoi? What the hell is a nesoi? Why would you preserve poop of ducks or geese? Isn't that what offal is?
I don't know. Isn't that guano?
We use it for fertilizer. I don't know if this is fertilizer. Carrots, fresh or chilled, reduced to, every one of these has a line. I'm on page 60. I got 250 pages to go. It's incredible of what the pigeon peas, fresh or chilled, shelled or unshelled, have entered from July 1st to September 30th. What the hell? But there's a line for everything. I didn't even know this stuff existed. And this is what people do all day? Get a load of this. Fresh, unripened, uncured, blue mold cheese. Cheese/subs for cheese, C-O-N-T, what is that? Or produced for blue mold cheese, subject to Chapter 4 U.S. Note 17, not GN-15.
What happens if your cheese is green mold?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Just curious.
Right. Changos, unripened or uncured cheese, including whey cheese and curd, subject to General Note 15 of the HTS. What is this crap? And people spend months doing this? And there's literally thousands and thousands of these, and our president, with his, you know, his mind has reduced it to the deal.
Yeah, I know.
every one of these lines must mean something to somebody. I'm guessing.
Sure, it does.
But who?
I'm guessing the cheese is the milk industry, but who knows?
Other dairy spreads of a type provided in Chapter 4, additional U.S. Note 1, not subject to General Note 15, in excess of quote in Chapter 4, add U.S. Note 10. What in God's name? And in Mexico, there's no tariff, and in Canada, there's an asterisk. So what the hell does the asterisk mean? Is there a tariff or isn't there? I mean, this. Everybody's convinced. I have people, I must have had 20 people, Steph, tell me about Canada is screwing us and dairy products. It's actually what is it? It's a milk powder number 7 or whatever the hell, something. Which nobody even knows what it is. And I'll say, by the way, do you know that we have a tariff on Canadian lumber that adds somewhere between $3,500 and $9,000 to the price of every house? No, really? No, we can't possibly. Yeah, we do.
Of course we do.
How come your president's not mentioning that? Well, I don't know. You know, we got a tariff on sugar and have had for 150 years or whatever. Oh, really? Man, I didn't know that. Okay, well, there, how many lines are there in this thing? And we have a guy who pulls out one. And if you go to any place where there's supporters of the right, they'll say, yeah, they're screwing us on these things.
Yeah, well, you want to look at the agricultural bill. I mean, the agricultural bill is probably only, you know, twice or three times as big as this. And, you know...
It's a five-year bill. Right. So big they can only do it every 5 years, right?
And they've been selling this as this huge changes. I mean, I haven't read through all of it. At least somebody's got a copy of it. But it sounds like they've changed some wages and some structure about a couple of different things. But for the most part, it's pretty much the same deal we had before. I don't know if everyone, but what I've seen a lot of is a lot of people saying, well, the good thing is we have a deal, because the worst situation would be we don't have a deal. So
even if it's the same thing.
Even if it's the same thing, correct. So, I don't know.
I think you hit the nail on the head. There's a big difference in the automobiles. I believe it's, if anybody knows the real number, please tweet it in. I'm thinking 60 or 65% of all the parts going across the border that have no duty have to have been made in a plant where the people make at least $20 an hour or $30 or something like that.
There's something like that.
So essentially, makes more of the, it's not specific to where the stuff's made. It's just specific to how much people got paid making it. Which actually, by the way, I think is a pretty good idea.
Well, it is today, yeah. Unless you're going to not include inflation over time, and who knows
Expect these guys to put, you know, escalation clauses and all that stuff on there. Speaking of which, inflation,
speaking of which, I better go out and buy my car this year.
Because yes.
Car prices are definitely going to go up.
Absolutely. Well, then again, if you buy yours now and they go up, maybe you could drive it for a year and sell it for the same price.
That's exactly, yeah.
I can see you being clever enough to do that.
That's what I'm working on.
Just sell it and go get another new one.
Yeah.
Brennan was on yesterday, sent me a message that he was at, somebody who listens to him on Monday sent him a note yesterday that he was somewhere in Naperville, and he gets in there and he starts filling up his car at $2.67 a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of the fill-up, the price on the sign goes to $3.09.
Whoa.
But they allowed him to continue filling up his $2.67. As soon as he put the nozzle back in, it went to $3.09. So talk about right on the edge.
Jeez.
You know, one thing, I'll ask you. I mean, because obviously you're quite a bit younger than me. When you see people on TV talk about there can't be any inflation because there's no wage inflation, which, by the way, Amazon just did some today, $15 an hour for the lowest price person. They're talking about part-time as well, Steph, so everybody, which I think is a huge plus. What do you think of that when people say that, that there can't be really any real inflation until there's wage inflation?
Oh, I think that's ridiculous. You know, I know from my own salary, I have gotten an annual increase that's supposed to be roughly 3%, which I'm being told, is inflation. And that's ridiculous, because you look at, you know, the price of milk and how that's gone up over the last however many years. And you look at the price, and not because of Canadians necessarily bringing us milk, but... You know, there are a lot of products that over the last 10 years, you can watch just how much their cost has increased, and my salary doesn't go up. So to me, that's called inflation, however we try and count it by the Fed.
Okay, now, first of all, you look at the price of milk. I'm going to have to say that probably you drink some.
Actually, I don't. I just happen to use it because that's one of the measures of inflation.
Ah, because I have not had a glass of milk in probably 45 years.
Yeah, I'm allergic to milk.
I might be now, too, if I've ever tried it. Actually, I can still eat ice cream, so I'm probably not.
No, I think you'll be fine then.
Anyway, here's the explanation, the question. I mean, and for those that don't know, Steph worked on the Board of Trade floor. If you talk to those guys, how's that for Southside? They will tell you there can't be any inflation because the price of everything on the wholesale level is really low. I mean, milk prices are like at a 10-year low, aren't they?
I don't know.
And yet, when you go to the store, you are correct. They are They are that low. And I mean, the price of food is low, and yet the price of restaurant food is to the roof.
Well, I think the price of food is low if you're buying it huge in bulk, like the guys on the floor are doing. You know, they're buying it for more industrial purposes, but you can also look at the price of, you know, let's say high fructose corn syrup, which no one wants to use anymore, which is a huge market out there. So now the price of sugar has obviously gone up a lot because people are switching from one to the other. Honey is a huge substitute, and that's also another thing where cost has just skyrocketed. So there's a lot of these kinds of different products where you know, substitutions or different trends have really made a big difference in costs.
Well, later in the show, when we have some time because we have some guests coming up, let's talk some more about that, because I think it's the system is eating up the money. The electric bill, the rents, that kind of stuff. S&P futures down 650, Dow futures down 77, NASDAQ futures down 25, oil up 7 cents. I'm back with Mr. Joel Ancon, and his Michigan guys barely escaped the Northwestern. I thought they had a clunker there, but they somehow rallied. Be right back.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTIsecurities.com. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome back, Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Oshie, Stephanie Koenig, Jay-Z on the board on a Tuesday. Then Mr. Joel and Con in a second. S&P futures down 7, Dow futures down 79, NASDAQ futures down 29. Oil up a whole 7 cents, but 75.37. It's up there. 10-year yield 3.07. Has not gone through 3.1 like it did last week, but also is showing it's not going to go back under 3, at least not right away. Over in Europe, we've got Europe down a little bit, but not huge. DAX down 82.7%, FTSE down 30.4, CAC around down 40.7. Over in Asia, we've got a little bit of a mixed bag. Nikkei down 24, let's call that one flat. Shanghai up, I'm thinking of Shanghai, I'm going to talk to Joel. I think these guys must be closed. The Hang Seng's down 662, that's 2.4%. Joel, is Shanghai closed? One of these guys must be. They can't be going in two different directions like that. Said West Texas up 7 cents, Brent down 32 cents. That spread has actually come in a little bit. It's now like $9. Natural gas 3.13, up another 4 cents. Steph, is this part of this deal or something? This is up 13 cents in 2 days. I haven't seen that. Did somebody come out with like some massive prediction from Farmer's Almanac that we have a cold winter or something? Something's weird. RBOB gas up 2.12 because the XLE was all up yesterday, all the oil stocks. A lot of it, I think, has to do with natural gas. Gold, not doing much as usual. It's up, though, 320, and silver's up 5 cents. Jay-Z, what do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports?
Thanks, Chief. Good morning, everyone. The time is now 6:36. Chicago weather today is going to be cloudy all day. Today's high is 64, low of 60. Phoenix has thunderstorms all day with a high of 81 and a low of 70. Cubs lost to the Brewers last night and watched in despair as the Brewers celebrated their 3-1 win at Wrigley. Luckily, the Cubbies have another shot in the wild card game tonight against the Rockies. Only problem on the roads at the moment is some flooding concerns between Claremont and Western. Nothing else to report. Back to you.
Joel, how are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. Boy, we got, what did we talk about? We got a lot of sports, baseball, yep. Football, and we got the markets. Where do you want to go first?
Hey, first of all, do you, which one of these things is closed, Shanghai or Hang Seng? They're going two different directions.
I got Shanghai open.
Okay, yeah, yeah, so, I do too now. What about Hang Seng?
Hang Seng markets, I think they're open too. Well, I mean, they don't always have to go in the same direction.
No, but one's up 1%, one's down 2.5%. That's a little odd.
No, it is. It is. No, I got the Hang Seng down 2%.
Yeah.
And let me see if I can get a quote on the Shanghai.
So, buy the spread.
You do much in those markets, Chief, or are you just looking
No, but we're always looking to, as a lot of the news becomes tariff related, you like to see where the different places reacted to different policies.
Yeah, they're up. They're going opposite directions today. Maybe put a spread on.
I wonder if there's some kind of rule change over there or something today. Something's weird. Anyway, your team I thought was going to lose to Northwestern. You did not.
17-0. I fielded many phone calls from frantic Michigan fans, and I told them we were going to come back. Very slow start. Northwestern played, you know, well at the beginning, but put it together at the end. But, man, oh, man, we're going to have to play a heck of a lot better against Wisconsin, Penn State, Michigan State to get victory. So, it was a victory, but not an impressive one. Missing our second string running back, Chris Evans. I don't like that. And the offense is still not clicking on all cylinders.
Hey, do you have any clue as to what's happened to natural gas the last 2 days? It's the biggest move in 20 years.
I don't know, but I
guess. I mean, the maybe in sympathy here with the oil market. I mean, it's been sleepy for a long time. It's not only it's had a nice move, not only over the last couple days, but really since the middle of September when it was around the 275, 277 level. So maybe a little bit of rally sympathy with the oil.
You got J.P. Morgan saying they think that oil could drive to 90, and you got OPEC and Russia also not shrugging off asked requests to cut their prices. So I think we're they're looking to
Steph,
run us up.
When those guys come out, when J.P. Morgan, because I reported on that like a month ago, where they were talking about because of the Iran situation, they thought 85 to 90 by the end of the year. Now, My question to you guys, because I don't know, they never say, when they throw the 90 number out there, are they talking West Texas or are they talking Brent? Do you think?
I think they're talking what's on the NYMEX.
Okay,
is what I think, the West Texas. But yeah, they trade at different premiums, but that's 15 bucks above where the NYMEX crude is trading. So I think that's pretty much what they use as a benchmark.
If the problem or if the reason is Iran, I'm going to say it's going to affect Brent more than it's going to affect West Texas. And it has. Its spread's gone from $5 to like $10 or $11, like Joel's saying, in the last couple of weeks.
It should, but it's got a lot to do with the refining, too, so which I'm not an expert on by any means.
Do we have a lot of the refineries, just a little technical, then we'll go back to something more fun like sports. A lot of the refineries on the Gulf Coast were designed for Saudi oil and for in Venezuela, which is even dirtier.
Yep.
And that's why this pipeline wants to get the Canadian oil down there, because it's crummy oil, too. Are there places down there that are just mothballed because they can't get the right oil? Because obviously you're not going to run the stuff from the Permian Basin, which I guess is pretty sweet, through those one of those plants. I don't think you can you?
I don't believe you can. I believe they're actually kind of calibrated to what they get in. So, and to recalibrate them is incredibly expensive. So I don't know whether any mothballed, but there's definitely got to be some issues when supply lines shut down with regards to that.
I'm sure you're right. I know that.
Jay-Z, are you a geology major there? No, where are you coming up with this information?
Jay-Z's on the board. This is Stephanie. Stephanie, she was here.
Oh, Stephanie.
Stephanie knows everything about everything. That's why she's on here. She's worse than me. She knows everything about everything.
I took one geology class, and that was Continents Adrift, and I didn't do too good in it.
Well, you know where I learned about it, Joel, was when I was working at the schools. They would have oil-fired furnaces, and some of the oil would be grade 5. Now, if diesel's 2, you can only imagine how sludgy 5 is. And it had to show up on heated trucks, and you actually had to keep the oil in the tank. There was a heater in the tank that kept it, like, you know, not hot, but say 110 degrees, or else it wouldn't even flow to the furnace. And the way the igniters were, they're almost like in your car. But the oil was like nothing. It was like 50 cents a gallon, maybe, because nobody wanted it. It was basically a little thinner than asphalt that you put on the roadway. And
so unless it's warm, it won't ignite.
Well, but you know, we also had a tank of diesel fuel. So you started the furnace with the diesel fuel. Then you'd hit the button, and these things would come out of these injectors. And the injector would, like, spit drops in the air.
Hmm.
And if the drop was small enough, it would catch fire in the fire. And then it would keep going. So if you're getting oil like that from Venezuela, all the pipes, everything in the whole place have to be heated, or else nothing flows. That's why when one of those things, if there's a hurricane and the power goes out, you got to tear all the pipe out because it's just a whole bunch of sludge in all the pipes. I mean, it's really weird dealing with that kind of stuff. Probably nothing anybody really needed to know there, but anyway.
No. Good information, Chief. Good information.
So what do you make of the Big Ten? I thought Ohio State might lose.
Yeah, they pulled it out. I mean, man, with Haskins there, they look awful tough. With Tua Tagovailoa at Bama here, I mean, it's almost like a foregone conclusion that those two are going to be in the national championship game. But that's the nice thing about college football. There's always some good upsets. But man, I tell you that Haskins is looking good, and Bama's looking awful good. But, you know, they got some tough games on the road. Bama doesn't run into Georgia during the regular season. They may run into them in the SEC championship game. I think Bama has to go on the road to LSU. who's playing pretty well under Ed Orgeron, and you know, anything can happen in the Big Ten, but you know, that needed Penn State to beat Ohio State from our perspective, because then we have Penn State at home, and it would have been to our advantage. But whatever it breaks down to, we're going to have to go down and win in the Horseshoe in November, and that's a tough thing to do.
What do you make of this Clemson situation? We got 2 minutes.
Clemson, holy mackerel. Yeah. I mean, if you're Dabo Sweeney, you're in between a rock and a hard place. I don't think Kelly Bryant's going to go back there, and unless he gets a secure promise. Coaches can do what they want. I mean, you know, that guy, Trevor Lawrence, have you seen any videos of him? I mean, he looks absolutely incredible. Could be a great quarterback, but they put themselves in a tough situation, end up playing a third stringer who was actually like sixth on the depth chart last year. So, but I don't know. I think they're going to run into, you know, even Trevor Lawrence, whoever, Kelly Bryant, whoever they have as a quarterback. I just, like I said, I think Bama and Ohio State are the class right now. And I just want to comment on the baseball a little bit.
Yeah,
the double playoffs, or, you know, the two teams. I mean, I'd be very surprised to see those two teams, like Milwaukee, or who's the other one that won the playoff game? The Dodgers.
Dodgers.
That's got to be so taxing on the pitching staff.
Yeah,
and the Cubs. I mean, that's just such an under. They should give those guys a couple days rest. That's just totally messing up their rotation. So, pretty amazing that what happened with that, with the double playoff. But man, those teams are a distinct disadvantage.
Well, sure they are, but they got Lester going and we're in regular rest. So
okay.
Tonight, but I mean, right now, I don't think there's any doubt. And you could be the biggest Cub fan on earth. Right now, Milwaukee is a vastly superior team.
They're hot, winning an 8 in a row and come on the road and win that. So, should be a little bit interesting for the old dying sport of baseball, though. I mean, I told you know, all the fans and the people that like listen to us on the radio and stuff. It's they're trying to revive the sport, but it's going down the tubes.
Well, I hope it doesn't, because football might be as well with the.
I mean, it's injuries. It's so hard to watch these games and watch these guys get carted off the field. A player in Atlanta died from a concussion. I mean, it's good, and all the TV timeouts and challenges and the replay. I mean, and also some baseball, the slowest sport in the world. They bring in replay, and that even slows things down. So,
well, yesterday was one of the fastest games I've seen in a while. Until it got to the seventh inning. The seventh inning must have taken an hour.
I don't. It's just in a change pitchers. And it's
Joel, we got a dash, buddy. Talk to you next week, if not before. We might get some picks from you for the weekend. We'll see. SP Futures down 6.25. Dow Futures down 68. NASDAQ Futures down 28. We'll be right back, Mr. Kenny Pulcheri. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howe. She's with Stephanie Koenig. In the studio, we got Jay-Z on the board. Kenny Polcari, SP Futures still down 6. Kenny, I understand you were entertaining a couple of smoking hot young ladies on Friday.
I was, but you got to speak louder because you went silent on me again.
I'll blame Jay-Z on that.
Yes, I had the pleasure of having them last Friday. And it was so interesting. You know what? I'm always amazed that when people have the opportunity to come to the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Look, it's iconic in this country, right? It's so much a part of the fabric of this nation and this country. And the fact that you just can't come in the building anymore post 9/11 makes it even that much more thrilling for people when they have the ability to come in. And so, I put them on the guest list last week, and I brought them in, and I did my whole, Kenny Polcari history tour of the New York Stock Exchange, from 1980 when I came here at 19 years old till present day. So it's always fascinating to see how people, react and how they feel when they're here, and it's really such a great moment for so many people.
Kenny, did they behave?
Of course we did.
All right.
His commentary on everything with the stock exchange and whatnot, though, really impressed Wendy, and Wendy hates museums.
Wait, I can hardly hear you.
Sorry about that.
Better?
Give me one sec.
Better?
Yeah, it's better now.
Okay.
I said his commentary on everything that, he told us about the stock exchange really impressed Wendy, and I said that took a lot because she hates museums and just, doesn't care about history. I'm just like... But I had a blast.
Well, what's really interesting, at least from my point of view, is that I've lived it for 38 years, right? So I came here when I was 19, a wide-eyed kid who was still in college who had no idea what a stock versus a bond was, and I've had this opportunity to live here in this building, in this space for 38 years and see the dramatic changes that have happened not only to U.S. capital markets but to the floor and the face of the New York Stock Exchange, and it is fascinating. And it's just a story I love to tell because it's a story that a lot of people on the outside don't get to see and hear and understand it from a first-person perspective.
Well, Kenny, it's an interesting world we live in. I mean, you and I, the world we've lived in, and Steph to a large extent. When you talk about, I got the gleam from my grandfather, who was an immigrant from, I don't think he came through at Ellis Island. I think somehow my Italian grandfather ditched somebody over here and stayed. Long story there, I'm assuming. I don't know the whole story, but he would tell me he was into stocks, and this is when he was retired from being a boilermaker. He goes, Tom, it's unbelievable that you can actually buy a piece of the future if you think a company is doing well, that you can become an owner. He goes, this is unbelievable. And Kenny, we used to do seminars, and we had people in from Mexico, and these guys are big high rollers from Mexico, and we're sitting one night having big cocktails over at the Excelsior at the time before it closed, And I said, is that what you guys are aiming for? Because they were putting up an options exchange. I said, are you actually looking for people in the country being able to own pieces of companies? Kenny, they looked at me like I had four heads. And why would we ever want that? Why would we ever want some lowlife owning a piece of our place?
I mean,
it's such an American concept. And it is so spectacular and goes to the core of what we are, I think.
And I think that's exactly right. And I think that hits the nail on the head, as I say to people. You know, you're standing really in the birthplace of capitalism.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, at the very core is what America is, right? And which is why, you know, when you talk about, you know, the events of things like 9/11, is that what they tried to do is destroy us at our very core, right? And for 6 days they succeeded, but you know, we stood up as a nation after that event and got stronger and stronger and stronger. And you know, as a result, it is a different marketplace today than it was prior to those events, but it is just as strong, it is just as fascinating, and it's just as exciting for people to feel like not only can they buy a piece of America, right, by owning stocks, but they can actually be here where it happens. And I think people are just fascinated by that.
Well, Kenny, why? I don't think, I know in Europe, when I was over there lecturing with Dr. Jake, or this was 20 some years ago, some of the companies were 85% owned by banks.
Right.
I think we're very unique. I mean, I'm not saying Canadians aren't the same way, and maybe the Japanese, I don't know, that actually, you know, Ma and Pa Kettle owned 500 shares of AT&T. I mean, I don't think you find that anywhere. That's not just capitalistic. The shared ownership is uniquely American, I think.
I think that's right. I think that's exactly right. It's part of what makes us and our system who we are.
Right. And we better be careful that we never let that go, because it is so much different. Now people, I don't know if they even care. Well, who cares about who owns the stocks? You got to care. You should be. That's why I don't like these stocks that don't split.
Right.
Yeah, they do keep
people
out.
But, you
know,
stocks that don't split, we had this conversation. You know, a lot of the reason that they're not splitting these stocks out is because the system has changed, because of the automation, because of the high-frequency trading and the chaos that it causes. A lot of companies have decided, you know what, if I split and I make my stock cheap again, okay, it looks good for the average American. They can say, oh, wow, I can buy more of it. But yet it's a boom for the high-frequency guys. And so a lot of these companies have decided, you know what, our company is our company, our price is our price. If you want to buy it, you buy it. So who cares if you buy 10 shares or you buy one share? The fact is you're still buying the equal dollar amount, and you're investing in this company. And so, you know, sitting right in the heart of it and seeing what the technology and the high-frequency stuff has done to kind of the chaotic trading in some of these names, it makes perfect sense. I fully support the companies don't split their stock anymore, because they don't want – once the stock gets to be so expensive, then the high-frequency guys can't play in it, and the chaos stops.
Well,
yep, that's true.
You and I come from different parts of the playing field. If you got 75 cents of 75 shares of Amazon, I can't insure it with a put, or I can't sub.
Right.
You know, and I think people need to be able to hedge their stuff.
Right.
And you can't really hedge it. I mean, it's hard for me to put 100 shares of Amazon in a normal person's portfolio.
I get it. I get it, but I also get the other side of the argument too, right? So there's got to be we've got to come to some kind of a happy medium. And you know, my idea is I think they should get rid of the high frequency guys, but ain't happening. So
I just actually believe the dark pools need to go. That's the part.
With the dark pools. That's a whole nother conversation.
Yep.
We could spend the whole day talking about the dark pools That is pure BS.
That is.
Why don't we elect staff? Because you and I aren't going. To be a senator and have her the head of a finance committee or something, and put us on the SEC, Kenny, we would fix this.
Oh,
yeah,
it'd be easily fixed. Easily fixed.
We would have some firms pissed off. Boy,
sure.
Would they be pissed off.
Yeah, but you know what the problem is? The problem is all the dark pools are owned by the big banks. Goldman, Morgan Stanley, Citibank, First Boston, Deutsche Bank, UBS. And they make so much money in those dark pools that what do you think, they're going to let them go? They're not going to let them go.
No.
So easy. They march down to Washington. They get in bed with both sides of the aisle. They make sure everybody's happy, right? Everybody's provided for. And this way, nothing changes. You see, now you got me all worked up. I can feel my blood.
Oh, yeah.
I totally agree, and it's ridiculous because the average Joe, tries to buy stocks and has no idea where they're getting their prices from,
exactly,
and they get ripped off, you know, and
exactly
all of our money's
right.
Going in the pockets of the big banks. So it just makes me so mad, too. I'm with you 100%.
What, did I fire you guys up or what? That's pretty good. I like this.
You certainly fired me up.
Yeah, me too.
Kenny, there's a company, I'll make this real brief, there's a company in Chicago that if you built a new building, they essentially did the caissons for you. Because everything's caisson now. You don't get onto the bedrack. We're not going to get into that. And if people totally beat on the guy and ragged on him enough to where he said, yeah, we need another bid. All right, I'll get you another bid. By the way, I own that company too. It's like, does this sound like what we're talking about? As long as you're just the right amount of market makers, one, and I'm it. I mean, Kenny, this is the history. Since we're talking history, the New York Stock Exchange. That's why the options exchange was different. New York Stock Exchange used to have competing guys competing to make markets in stock, and then all of a sudden, as time went by, no, you couldn't compete anymore. It was just one guy. You could be a broker or you could be the specialist. So that when the CBOE came on, we're going to have competing specialists, which is essentially a market maker. And over a period of time, the powers that be did the same thing that an options industry. There's no competing market makers anymore.
They destroyed the industry and put specialists in there.
But it's relentless. It always goes down to, we're going to have one drug company someday, until we decide to blow that up. But, Kenny, thank you for entertaining the young ladies. They said you were absolutely the best, which does not surprise me, by the way. And we'll
talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week, buddy. SP Futures down 5, Delphi's down 64. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR. Innovation in Human Resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with their choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Loan Open Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Hunt. She's Mrs. Stephanie Coney. He is Miss Jay-Z on the board. SP Futures down 5. Dow Futures down 64. NASDAQ Futures down 26. How you doing over there, Jay-Z? A lot of people coming and going on a Tuesday, huh? You, so far, you're doing well.
Thank you. I'm doing okay. I mean, keeps me on my feet.
On your toes or just on your feet?
I guess either or. I mean, it's the same concept.
Your feet are sore from your 25 miles walking in New York, as you mentioned.
30 plus, actually. And yeah, I have blisters like no other.
Oh, God. Well, you shouldn't be wearing high heels for 35 miles. So sounds.
I wasn't. I only wore them to the stock exchange, and it was for like 2 hours.
Well, your next trip's going to be to Washington, and you're going to get the tour by Mr. Wayne Matson. Will be every bit as good as your tour of the New York Stock Exchange by Kenny. Wayne, how are you, bud?
Very good. How are you?
We're doing all right. We're we figured we needed an injection of what in God's name is going on out there in the FBI. If they come back and all of a sudden they find stuff when they had six other times they didn't, how does that look? It seems like everybody's going to have egg on their face by the time this is all over.
Well, you know, the thing about these background, I've been through these background checks for security clearances several times, and really all they amount to is a sort of glorified national agency check. What the Secret Service does if you want to go visit the White House, for example. You know, they check to see do you have any sort of, you know, criminal record, and things like that. But, you know, for this type of thing, a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court, the criticism, I think, was justified as, hey, look, yeah, he had six of these background checks, but they're almost pro forma evolutions that, in other words, they don't go out to look for, or corroborate other information brought by third persons. It's really just let's look. You didn't rob a bank, that type of thing. So those who have, I think, legitimate questions about Kavanaugh, you know, said, hey, look, you know, let's do something a little bit different here with him because this is a lifetime appointment. But I think those in the Trump administration and certain Republicans say, well, let's just have a seventh background check. Well, this is a little bit more than just a background investigation.
Let's get back to the beginning. You've been investigated and you passed?
Yeah, they're not that good. It wasn't during the J. Edgar Hoover died, and, you know, the whole FBI sort of went to pot, you know.
For those of you who don't know, and the next time you come to town, we're sure going to grab stuff. The Wayne and, I forget, what's your buddy's name?
Andrew Craig.
Yeah, they came
by the way, Tom, did I tell you that I like beer?
Yeah, well, actually, I don't think you had beer that night.
You're not the only
I
hear.
I when listening to Kavanaugh, I think he said 34 times that he liked beer. I was reminded of that old Tom T. Hall song, which has the same lyrics, I like beer.
Well, I got a question
but
for
in
you.
His case, it makes him a jolly good fellow, and in Kavanaugh's case, apparently it made him a very nasty drunk.
Yeah, I feel like we should sing the, you know, My Solo Cup. Have you heard that song?
Yeah, right. The Red Solo.
Exactly.
Yeah, the infamite Red Solo Cup.
Wayne, I have a question for you from deep inside the bowels of Washington. It seems to me, just watching, that these guys will fight to the death on various subjects, but there's also a couple subjects that they just don't go there. I mean, you'll never, if you and I are fighting left versus right, I'm never going to say, well, Wayne, of course you feel that way. You got a huge freaking check from Aetna or something. Because I have a bone like that in my closet as well. I'm surprised. One of my, I'm going to say, you know, he's a conservative guy, nice guy, came up to me the other day and he said, Chief, I got to ask you, why did they only talk about beer? Why was drugs off the top? And I never even thought of that, Wayne. And he said there was not one question regarding drugs. Are they? Are there other people there they're trying to protect? Who makes?
Yeah, you know, I talked to some people who have been to AA, and there is something significant about Kavanaugh, you know, even offering up several times, not being asked. When he said, "I like beer, I have a few beers," you know, I drank. That sometimes and many times, I should say, is a cover story for that. You know, he likes a lot more than beer. You know, it's like you get stopped by the cops and they'll say, "You've been drinking, sir." "Yeah, I had a couple of beers." And a couple of shots and a couple of glasses of wine. And there were these, you know, I mean, once again, the whole process, it reminded me of the Nita Hill Clarence Thomas situation back in 91 where, you know, the porn stars' names came up, and things, you know, hairs on Coke cans and in martinis. That was the question, was courtesy of Orrin Hatch, who seems to have a real issue with stuff like, subjects like that. But, this thing called boofing, which, Kavanaugh said was flatulence. Apparently it's not that. It has to do with the, taking of drugs, and not through the mouth. I don't want to get any more graphic than that.
Well, didn't,
through an oral orifice, how would we call it that?
Yeah. Well, didn't,
Well, I have to tell you, now I was in Washington, and I frequented Georgetown, not the university, but the section of town in 1982, the same time he was at Georgetown Prep, and I never heard that term, boofing. So that must have been a real wild place up at that Jesuit prep school.
Wayne, what would the, I mean, this is total speculation on your part, but Steph and I were talking about it on the way in this morning, and if you were to take the roster of Georgetown Prep for those, say, 3 years, 82 through 85, and the roster of the corresponding female school or schools, what would that roster look like? The heads of industry? How many people are in elected office? I mean,
I mean, this is the elites. You know, Georgetown Prep is one of many boys' schools like that. There's, you know, several others that in the area. There's Sidwell Friends, which is run by the Quakers. That's co-ed. St. Albans, which is a boys' school. That's where Al Gore went, for example. Holton Arms, where Dr. Ford attended. One of their graduates is Shelley Capito Moore, the Republican senator from West Virginia. So, you know, with all the support that Ford has been getting from her classmates, there's been some speculation, as you know, the name hasn't come up as an undecided which way will Republican Senator Capito go if she wants to show solidarity with the other graduates of Holton Arms. But yeah, there's several like that, and they do produce senators like Gore, and almost president, so this is the privileged folks in the Washington area where they send their schools. Yet some of these people in Congress vote on public education and vote to curtail funding for public education. And you look to see where their kids go to school, and you find these elite academies and prep schools and whatnot.
Well, it's one of the, this has nothing to do with anything politically, but one of the other two ladies, which evidently were not in the class like Dr. Ford, she's considered a traitor to her class by a few people, sort of like Roosevelt was. But the other, well, they asked one of the other women, the other two accusers, I better be correct here, and did you ever meet Dr. Ford? And she goes, "Oh no, there was never a party. It was either the privileged girls there, or the Notre Dame equivalent of the townie girls. We were never invited together." I thought that, I guess I could understand that, but I never even thought to think of that.
you didn't mix your
opportunities.
There were questions asked, but they were being asked by Republican staffers who
Chuck Grassley, who, by the way, is really, I think it's really time for him to think about retiring. It's one thing to be asked by political staffers these questions, even though they say, well, they're representing the Senate, you're therefore under the penalty of perjury if you lie. It's all different situation when a black SUV with tinted windows comes up in your driveway and two FBI agents come into your house and they start asking questions, because there are people sitting in federal penitentiary right now who lied to agents like that. And so we hear, like, this guy, Mark Judge, which I find ironic, his last name is Judge, the judge on the court. He's already answered questions. Now, he may have changed his stories, knowing that, you know, he could face up to 5 years in federal prison for lying to these FBI agents. So I think everything has to be taken in context here with what people say and answers. And, you know, and then others were answering questions from the press, which, you know, you're not obligated to tell them anything that's truthful. As a journalist for many years, I'm well aware that people have lied to me. And, you say, okay, bad source, move on.
Wayne, if you know it, sorry to interrupt, Steph, if you know what, one of the things I read was a person who was there at the time and was talking about, it was definitely a no-tell type of thing. If a girl made it back to her place and didn't have the most pleasant time, she never talked about it. Same thing with probably the guys. I mean, we know how that goes. But he was talking about some of the parties were actually at Ethel Kennedy's house, and the Kennedy's kid overdosed at one of them. And he was, you know, shooting cocaine essentially in the groin, so you don't show the. What is it? Do you know the story of the Kennedy kid's suicide? I mean, they said that's the only time the FBI came on campus, and the guy said all everybody cared about was that means the parties are going to stop, that the FBI is going to put a stop to their parties. Do you know that? I hate, like, to talk about it after reading one or two articles.
I don't know the details, but, you know, I mean, that this was common, and, you know, political party that, you know, is actually immaterial. There were these, you know, cocaine was a, you know, in 82 when I first came to Washington, coke was big, and you know, if you remember the what happened with Len Bias, the University of Maryland basketball guy who was going, star who was going to go to the NBA, overdosed on I guess cocaine, maybe mixed with something else. It was a huge story in the area. And it was in that time frame. These things happen. I thought what was interesting is that Kavanaugh brings out these calendars, which he said, you know, he's the only guy I know that age who was keeping a calendar.
Oh, yeah, I could tell you.
He shows that there was this one party over at Timmy's house on July 1st, 1982, you know, and he has, we're going to go over and get some skis and PJ and Mark and Squee. I don't know who Squee is, but he, you know, Squee's name came up several times.
It came up on Saturday Night Live, too.
We're going to go have some skis, meaning brewskis, over at Timmy's house. I checked out my own calendar, historical calendar. July 1st, 1982 was the day that Maryland officially raised its drinking age from 18 to 21. Now, most of these kids were not even 18 at the time. It was a Thursday. It was a Thursday before the 4th of July weekend, which it could have been. I have to go back and see if the feds gave that Friday as the day off, which would, you know, give, you know, people could take a 4-day weekend. But, you know, there was a big 4th of July weekend coming up, and this was the day that Maryland raised its drinking age. I just have to assume that knowing these privileged, the way these privileged kids acted, it was like, hey, Maryland, you know, we don't care what you're doing. We're all going to get loaded on Thursday over at Timmy's house. And, of course, Kavanaugh was one of them. And that is thought to have been maybe the actual day, that party where Dr. Ford get forced into that upstairs bedroom.
Well, Wayne, how do you get, and I'll ask Steph the same question, how do you get from most people, you know, it was surprising. I graduated in 74, and let's say there were awful lots of drugs around when I was there. I never saw coke.
I didn't either. But I'll tell you, there were bars in Georgetown that were known
for if you went into the restroom, and I can only speak for the men's rooms, but they said if you went in the restrooms, that's where, you know, you could get a line of Coke. And a couple of these places that I had been in, not when you could get it, you know, not that they had Coke there, I always noticed that the countertop of the sink was always like a black marble, pitch black marble. And I said, is that, you know, is that so you can actually see the line of Coke? I'm not an aficionado on it, but I always thought that was weird, that the places that were identified to me as a place where you could get a couple lines of Coke in the restroom, they had these pitch black countertops on the sink.
Well, there was huge on the Board of Trade and in the CBOE when I started in 81. I mean, all kinds of people. And you had guys who were really into it, shall we say, not any kind of a shot to the Me Tours or to the two lovely ladies that are with me today, but those guys always had good-looking clerks. I mean, if you had Coke, you were popular. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I got to tell you, the Kavanaugh thing has educated me because, you know, I think back in 82 when I heard the Devil's Triangle, I thought they were talking about, you know, the Bermuda Triangle where all the ships and airplanes disappear. I may have even had a book about the Bermuda Triangle that I was reading. I had no idea it meant something way
very,
entirely
very, very
different.
Well, we went skiing. Dr. J had a buddy who'll go nameless. We went down to Telluride, spent 4 days down there. Wow. In every bar, I'm like, whoa, I better be careful. I don't cough. I'm liable to blow somebody's
Yeah, line. Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's the same situation in Georgetown.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
in that same year, or in same time frame.
In my era, I mean, you know, it really depended on the crowd you hung around with. It was definitely not a part of the crowd I hung around with. But, you know, I grew up in an area that had a very diverse set of economic, I guess, economic, what do you call it? Some people were very wealthy, some people were very not. If you went to certain parties, it was definitely an option. It was, you know, something I've never been a part of, but it was there. But it was not something that my friends or anyone I hung around with was particularly part of.
My college days, it was LSD, it was Corsin, it was mescaline. I never did any of that stuff. But what's this one new drug the FDA is trying to put out as a sleep aid? And I forgot the name of it. I'm like, that's what my buddies used to take in college. I mean, it's anything but a sleep aid.
This was like the horse tranquilizer, back to that?
Some kind of histamine or something. I don't know what it is, but I recognize the name and I go, a sleep aid? What are you talking about? But yeah, no heroin, no coke, but everything else. And then all of a sudden, 10 years later, it was all coke. I mean, I didn't say any of those drugs in the Board of Trade, the LSDs or any of that stuff.
There was a lot of that growing up for me.
Oh.
That was my error.
I don't know do we need any mind expanding drugs? We need something. I need steroids so I can hit the ball further in softball.
Well, I got to think that during the Kavanaugh hearing, that a lot of people probably were forced to go into their medicine cabinet to see what they had. They could calm down a bit.
God,
it was no. The big question is, and I thought Saturday Night Live. You know, I remember the spoof they did on the Anita Hill Clarence Thomas thing, and that's a classic Saturday Night Live. Probably the best, I would say the best, up till this one. This one with Matt Damon playing Kavanaugh was pretty good, but Lindsey Graham, I think, is a guy who either he was trying out for you know, Hollywood, maybe to play the role of Scarlett O'Hara in a remake of Gone with the Wind. Some of these senators did not distinguish themselves. And then there's this John Kennedy, who has that unfortunate name, because I'm still a big fan of John F. Kennedy, President Kennedy. And this guy, he came off sounding more like Mr. Haney on Green Acres than...
I thought the two guys at Saturday Night Live, the weekly update, were funny. I goes, wait a minute, you're yelling and you're crying at a job interview? What kind of job interview is that?
yeah, that's right, yeah. There was a couple of embarrassing moments for him, asking Senator Klobuchar of Minnesota whether, you know, she ever drank to the point of blacking out, and she, you know, my dad's 90 years old, and he's a member of AA, you know, I mean, you know, seriously, that sort of judicial temperament, I'm surprised the guy is on probably the second most important court in the United States.
Yeah,
I am too.
The U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia, that's usually where cases go before they're kicked to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court, if they don't want to give cert on a case, they kick it back to that court.
And the other thing that was really concerning is his partisanship.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to be up in the highest court in the land, and
yeah.
You've never heard from any of the other justices, whether they're left-leaning or right-leaning. You still never have heard them call out one political party or another.
Well, that was except for crazy. Clarence Thomas, we know he's right-leaning, but he never says that.
Right.
he's been sitting there taking up a chair all these years.
Is there any chance that if somehow or another the guy doesn't get on, and now we've got two people sitting on the same court, one that everybody eviscerated, this guy. And if you're from the school of thought, and there's a lot of people that I know, real bright people, that say all this stuff was 35 years ago. In the last 20 years, he's been exemplary. But you get to put some stuff behind you at some point. And you know what? They have a point about that. I don't know where the line is, but it's not like you can tell them that they're wrong. They're not. Now, him and the guy they didn't even vote on are sitting on the same appeals court. Is there any chance that four of the lunatics on the left and four on the right can sit down and say, all right, we've embarrassed the bleep out of ourselves with these last two Supreme Court people. Can we find a way to get back to where the person that goes in there is approved by 90 of the people? Is there any chance that we have hit bottom here, Wayne, and we're going to go up from here, or is it a no?
I think Trump is the wild card. I think in normal circumstances, what you're saying could happen. The word is that Chief Justice Roberts, who worked with Kavanaugh in the George W. Bush administration in the White House, is not all that thrilled with the guy. And so, I would also point out that people are talking about, well, Neil Gorsuch, that worked out well, but he was at Georgetown Prep at the same time that Kavanaugh was, and in his yearbook it says he was the president and founder of a group called the Fascism Forever Club. I think people forget that. So we had Gorsuch running a Fascism Forever Club and Kavanaugh running around as some sort of a drunk rooster grabbing women. Is that the best we can? But maybe that's emblematic of, well, if Trump's going to appoint judges to the court, he's going to appoint people that believe like he does or acts like he does.
Well, my mother, who I think you would have thought was pretty unusual, and that she, came out of a bad area, was valedictorian of Englewood High School of all places. When Bush was running against, was it Kerry? Who were the two guys?
2004. Yeah.
Who were the two guys that were skull and bones? Was it Bush and?
Oh, Kerry? it was the W and John Kerry.
Yeah.
Right.
My mother goes, let me get this straight. We got 300 million people here, and the two people that are running were C students that laid naked in a coffin staring up at dead animals. And I go, yeah, Mom, that's pretty much what we got. She goes, how did we get here? If she was alive today and saw the goings on, she'd probably say, get me back in the grave.
I think this goes back to both of your points that, we do need to forgive people for things they do earlier in life, and I believe that. I also understand that some things just you should not do no matter what age you are.
Yes.
And then if we're looking at the top court in the nation, like, my issue now is less about what happened in the past and more about the fact that through his testimony, I mean, there's clearly times when there are just things that just cannot be true. I mean, from his statements, and I don't want somebody who gets away with lying to some of our highest fundamental organizations in our country, then making decisions about my future and my kids' futures, from the highest court in the land. So, I mean, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, and you're right about you shouldn't hold someone's background against them. One of the most liberal, progressive justices in recent times was Hugo Black, appointed by FDR. Now, he was from Alabama. In his younger days, he was a member of the Ku Klux Klan. Yet later, he disavowed all that and became one of the most pro-civil rights progressive judges on the Earl Warren Court, which was by nature a very liberal court. So, yeah, you can't hold, in his case, in Hugo Black's case, and I could probably find others, and there were others on the court who were always ne'er-do-wells and never changed, but there's one case where we were better off having a Hugo Black on the court than not.
I draw the line, and I maybe I shouldn't, but I do. I don't know, I defend it. Maybe I shouldn't. Anybody who's ever taken advantage of anybody's person, male or female, somebody's weak and you couldn't wait to throw a big block at him in a football game because you knew you could annihilate him. Somebody who's obviously had too much to drink and you're going to take advantage of him, you say, look, if you want to have sex with me, come back tomorrow when we're sober. I mean, you can't ever do that. I think those people that do that never change. I mean, you can change your political views.
Yeah, and I think that's the essence of Kavanaugh. I mean, there was no remorse, no mea culpa. I thought it was creepy that the first day of his confirmation hearing,
so
he
creepy.
Had all these girls on some team he coaches there in their short dresses, and you had all these guys like Ted Cruz, these creepy Ted Cruz, whose own daughter always wants to avoid him. Yeah, and they're all sitting there gawking at these girls wearing these short skirts. These, you know, obviously, and girls 14 and 15 years old. It was that whole episode was I said, what's going on here?
All right, Wayne, we got to go, buddy. Thank you very much. Have you on soon? SP Futures down 350, Dow Futures down 48, NASDAQ Futures down 15. Good job, Jay-Z. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks. Jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here. Right now. Right here. Right now. Right now.
SP Futures, hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. SP Futures down 4 now, we're coming back. Dow Futures down 52, NASDAQ Futures down 18. Oil now down 2 cents, 10-year yield, 3.07, but I could have said 30-year, Steph, because it's only like, what, 0.1 more or something? It's pretty darn close.
Pretty close.
It's very flat out there. I don't know why I would put my a client in 30-year instead of a 10. I would not. DAX down 70.6%, FTSE down 20.3%. Jay-Z, we got somebody on a thing here. CAC ran down 32.6. Over in Asia, we've got very unusual movement in Asia today. Nikkei up 24, call it almost flat. Shanghai is up 29.1%, and the Hang Seng is down 662, 2.5%. It's a very unusual morning, but it was corroborated by our buddy Joel. We've got oil, like I said, down 2 cents. We had Brent down 39, so that spread has collapsed just a little bit, but it's still over $9. And we have gold now rallying a little bit. It's up 380, silver up 8 cents. And Jay-Z, we also have Mr. John Neal. Jay-Z, what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports? Duck Cubs, is it tonight? Turn out the light, the party's over?
No, the party's not over yet.
All right, just saying tonight, you know, maybe.
No, don't say that. You're going to
jinx us. Well, if they only get 2 more hits, it'll be over.
Yeah, well, okay, we're not thinking negatively.
All right.
Glass half full, Tom. Glass half full.
All right.
Okay, anyway, good morning, everyone.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay.
The time is now 7:35. Chicago weather is cloudy all day. Today's high 64, low 60. Phoenix has thunderstorms all day today with a high of 81, low of 70. Cubs lost to the Brewers last night, ended the game 3-1, and watched the Brewers celebrate on their home turf. Cubs are playing the Rockies in the wild card game tonight, though, so they got another chance. There's one accident on Lakeshore Drive going south just before Chicago Avenue, which has caused traffic to stop, and that is the only accident to report. Back to you.
I got to find a... John, how are you?
Well, good. Good morning. How are you?
Fine, except I forgot. Well, tonight I'm going to see if I can find it if I'm watching the game at home. When they first came out with... Did you ever hear of these delay radios?
No. What is one?
Well, if you actually... If you were to, for instance, get your AM radio, say you're watching the Cubs, the Bears, the Diamondbacks, whatever the hell it is, and you're watching on cable, and you turn the radio on, you'll find out you know what happened way before it comes on your TV.
Oh, yeah.
So they came out with a radio, this got to be 10 years ago, that you can dial back up to 8 seconds the delay, so you match it up. So if you're watching the Bears, have people over for beers, we like beer, on a Sunday, you can actually tie this into your stereo or the back of the TV if you know what you're doing. John could do this, I'm not so sure I could. You can delay it. Well, guess what? I almost have to throw this out because the delay now is like 10 or 11 seconds by the time it bounces up on a satellite comes back down. So it's real interesting that, did you ever go to one of the skyboxes, Steph, across the street, like one of the rooftops?
I've been one of the rooftops, yeah.
Do you ever notice that you hear the roar of the crowd like 10 seconds before you see it on the TV there?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the radio matches it up. But mine only goes, it's one of the original ones, it only goes 8 seconds. I think the new ones go 12.
Hey, you know that Millennium Park has got one of the only permanent installations where the timing of the sound from the stage is exactly matched to the timing of the speakers out there. So it's one of the only permanent installations ever put in that has the technology.
So John, you're an audiophile. I mean, I'm going to say to the back row or to the front row. The front row can't be much of a
lag. No, they time the whole thing. So they time whatever. If you're sitting in the front row, the speakers tell you when the sound gets there. If you're sitting in the very back, they time it so that it's exactly the same as when the sound would get to you.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
I don't.
That had to cost a bundle.
Oh, millions.
I know when we were at the Democratic National Convention, I went with the guys from the SIBO. God, if you ever get to go to one of those things, Republican, talk about a trip. Every lobbyist group, everybody who is somebody, has the equivalent of a tent or a skybox or whatever, with booze flowing like there's no tomorrow. And we ended up in somebody's skybox on the third level,
And Hillary Clinton was given a speech. It had to be 4 years before Obama ran, maybe. Oh, it had to be, it had to be 98. She's speaking down at the bottom. You could hear it out of the TV faster than sound made it from down in the convention center up to the place. It was pretty bizarre. Anyway, John, what do you make of, I'll ask you because I haven't got an answer from anybody yet. Where are we getting this 30-cent rally out of natural gas? Did somebody come out and say we're going to be an ice age this winter or what? Or is there some kind of natural gas shortage that I don't know about?
Yeah, no, I thought we had pretty good supplies of natural gas, to be perfectly honest with you, worldwide, too, so I have no idea.
I've been reporting natural gas every morning. Why I did, I have no idea. It was 271 to 273. I'm going to say 4 years, Jan, and all of a sudden in 3 weeks it's 314.
Right.
We got to get a guy. We got to get a guy. Or if Steph can find us a lady who can come out and tell me what's going on here and what companies we should buy to take advantage of it, or if we're are we too late? Got to be somebody.
I'll keep looking.
Because they call it when you get a hole. A hole for oil or gas. Some are they're really wet, and some of they call them they're dry. Or if it's a natural gas drilling place, if it's wet, it means it's got oil in there too, right, Steph? And they're all exactly. Some combination of another. And I'm going to say
you'll just get one or another. Yeah,
yeah.
You get some mixture of both. Yeah.
And then some places, well, on the north slope, they essentially flared off the natural gas forever, right?
Right.
Which well, is, they we'll couldn't liquefy it. They couldn't figure out how to transport it.
So. Right. Well, even if they had a pipeline down to Valdez, we could do it when it got there. You couldn't put it on a ship, and there was no other pipeline from there. I think though there you actually could hook up to a pipeline in Canada, which of course we don't want to do. We should have done 15 years ago.
Yeah. Now they can liquefy natural gas, so that makes a big difference. They can ship it.
Yeah, but
it's an expensive process.
Do you think if you had some big honking pipeline from someplace like the North Slope that we have the technology and enough ships to take that whole thing? I don't know. You know better than me, it appears. But
I think that they've... I know there are a bunch of natural gas ships at the moment that are transporting natural gas around the world. I do
yes.
not know a ton more other than that. I do also know that the liquefaction process for natural gas is expensive and it takes some pretty intense technology. But that's probably about the extent of my knowledge of natural gas.
The only thing I might know to add to that is that you used to have to have that technology on land. In other words, you couldn't just have the pipeline terminate. I use the term at the dock, which I don't know if that's. I'm sure you put this further out in the water, so if the case ever blows up, it doesn't take the city with it.
One would hope.
Yeah, one would hope. But I think the technology used to have to be on dry land, and so if you took natural gas to, I'll say, Marseille in France, they needed the other side of the... But I think now that the ship itself can concentrate it on the one end and let it loose on the other. I think that technology, at least on some of the newer vessels, is on board, I think. Again, we need a... Steph, if you can find... I think
oh,
you know
I'll
everybody.
Do some
if you
research.
Can find this... But that would make it a lot easier, obviously.
Yeah, I'll do some research. Just see if I know anyone or try and learn some. Hey, so, I'm in Yellowstone. I'll read about that. How's
yeah,
that?
Well, you know.
I do know this. That there's hubs that you know that convert that so they can go on the ships. And one of the problems, I think it's in the Gulf in Louisiana to be exact, and I think there's one in the north. We just do not have a lot of those. One of the companies that does it that I'm aware of is Chenier.
Right.
If you've heard that name down, I believe it's somewhere out of Louisiana there. And they've just increased their capacity and things like that. There was just a report that I read over the weekend where they just increased the facilities, you know, production-wise there by ramping up. So, there's some barriers to entry there. I think these are very, you know, expensive type equipment to do this kind of stuff.
Weren't those guys, and correct me if I'm wrong here, I don't want to go too far if I am wrong, weren't those guys like vilified that under the Obama administration they got a bunch of money from the federal government before they really could do it, and a lot of people thought they wasted it or something? Wasn't there some sort of scandal regarding how much money they were getting from the Fed? It was part of the Obama initiatives. I read it in the wrong place. I think it's the right place.
I do not recall that, to be honest with you.
Well, maybe I'm wrong. I'll look it up and I'll either retract my statement or go further with it tomorrow morning. But I think they were one of the when Obama gave the money to the they gave it to the solar people. Everybody was all pissed off at them. Remember? And then I think these guys were part of it too.
I remember the solar one, right?
Yeah, and I think these guys somehow were caught up with that brush somehow. But yeah, I guess the move is so rapid though, Jan. Even if all of a sudden I knew a company that really specialized in the gas part, I'm not so sure I'd buy them 10% up in 2 weeks. I mean, I don't know if it's going to go to 350, is it?
No, I mean, you know, like I mentioned, I follow that Cheniere a little bit because I have a decent position for some of my clients, and that's already at, I know somebody upgraded that the other day a little bit, and but it was already pretty doggone close to the highs anyhow. So, I mean, you know, where does it have to go? That's one of the problems.
Well, the reason why, you know, you find this interesting, and this as I bore the hell out of everybody, including Steph, regarding my constant reference to numbers. I mean, if you have companies that are drilling for natural gas and making, I'll say, a comfortable living, you know, a decent return at 274 or something, people are so used to the trade today. You're used to the Apple, you know, the Apple thing where, you know, I won't say they pay people all the rice they can eat, but people like in China and so forth. I mean, their margins are like 45-50%, sometimes 60, right, Steph? And, mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're used to that on that side of the aisle, or not the aisle, but of the industry. When you have a company that's drilling natural gas, I'm going to say at 274, if they're making 2%, 3%, 4% margin, I think they're doing pretty good. Maybe 5 or 10 is, you know, you've got a business there. You got all kinds of people employed. You make money. Your shareholders make money. If all of a sudden, if you're making dough, I'll be Southside here at 271, and you wake up one morning and the number is 314, you are the happiest clam in town, because I got news for you. That 10%, if you were making 5 or 6 or 8% before and now it's 15 or 20, that is a dramatic change to the bottom line. I have to believe. Are you guys disagreeing or no?
No question.
I mean, it's like I can make money at oil at $40 a barrel, but I'm not happy. But I can make money there, and the business stays. And all of a sudden, it's 75. Yikes!
Now you can drill a lot more expensive wells.
Yeah, it's
you know,
like
wells that cost you a lot more to do.
It's like going and having a beer on sale, and I don't only get a case on sale, but you give me a free quart like they used to in Milwaukee. Then I don't think anybody does that anymore. Do they even sell beer in quarts anymore?
I couldn't tell you. I mean, I kind of remember, you know, seeing that in the past.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if you buy it by the quart.
One of my buddies was an Evan Scour in Wisconsin, and I think a case of Miller's, or actually it was Old Milwaukee. Guess how much, Steph?
$2.
It was like $1.89, and they gave you a free quart.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think about what the quart size actually is, because I think a lot of the microbreweries will sell you a quart. But I don't know.
It's a big bottle. Looks like a vinegar bottle.
Right. That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. And then the growlers would be where you get the micro places you could develop those growlers, which I think is actually
Internet a quart or less.
Closer to a gallon or something, isn't it?
Growler, I think, is a half gallon. You know, the president of PTI Securities loves the home brew. Dan knows all this stuff. Dan Howe. I think a growler is somewhere between a quart and a half gallon. It's like a jug.
Why in the English language do we have 15 words for the same different things? They all mean something slightly different.
Well, does anybody even know that? If somebody were to say your place is 2 hectares or it's 40 rods long, I mean, does anybody even know what this stuff means anymore? I don't.
I think that's part of the worst world where I'm going. There's so many different words. I was having a conversation with one of the Uber drivers a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about how he was learning English, and he had a kind of hard time about it. But, you know, it had been in the movies when he'd grown up, and there were a lot of other things. And I said, well, of course it's a complicated language. Think about rocks. How do we explain rocks? You've got a boulder. You've got a pebble. I said, how many different words do we have for different sizes rocks?
Yep. Well, it's if you ever read the book, Man Called Intrepid, I don't know if I've ever seen it in the history books here. Evidently, every piece of mail that went from the U.S. to Europe during World War II was opened and looked at, read, I guess, for lack of a better term, in Bermuda. And they actually, I'm sure they didn't fly them over. They had much of it was virtually all women, I guess, stuff. And they
doesn't surprise me.
Huge areas were, well, I mean, the guy, I'm going to say the guys were probably off fighting or whatever, but they, this, you know, being in Bermuda doing this is part of the war of effort too.
Yep.
And they open up basically every piece of mail and steamed. If you steam it just right, you can actually open it up and put it back together. You never know it was open. I mean, it's a real talent, but they would look for micro dots, mm-hmm. which was the technology at the time. But English is so tough. They would read the letter. First thing they do is read the letter.
Mm-hmm.
And if the slang was misplaced, the hardest thing to learn is slang. And another, if the slang was misplaced or it just didn't sound right or it didn't look like anybody had a really reason to write, then they would search it for micro dots. It was just a regular letter from like you to your boyfriend stuff. They're going, they know it's from you.
Right.
There's nothing there to look at. The hardest part is to you guys ever watch, NCIS when, what's her name was there, Cody DiPaolo or whatever she
yeah.
played. What you, every week they'd have some stupid, she knew English perfectly, but she would say stupid like,
she always got the idioms
yeah,
wrong.
You say, your duck is cooked, and they go, no, not your goose. Right. What's the difference? They're both a bird. Like you're saying, Steph.
Right.
You know,
right.
What is the difference? I mean, exactly. So, Jan, I find, the XLE, I'm very happy we stuck in that. It's become a nice winter for us this year. I'm still hoping that happens in gold and silver. You know, not horrible, but not good either. But if a little bit of a rally and all of a sudden that turns good as well. What do you make of, to me, it seems like the market's getting a little more selective. We're going up and we're down, but we're sort of in the same spot. I mean, were you surprised yesterday in the midst of this huge rally where the Dow was up 200 points, the Russell was down what? Over a percent?
I mean, yeah, that's really strange.
Yeah, it's really strange. I mean, and David's been saying that he'd look for a sell-off in the Russell to be a buyer in there. Well, we got our sell-off yesterday, so I guess if I had $30 million to plunk into something today, I would have to put it in the Russell and not the Dow. I think the Dow, I get tired of watching Boeing and Apple run the Dow way up. It's all Boeing
yeah,
and Apple.
It's way too narrow there, so yeah, I would agree, you know, the Russell or something along those lines.
So we have one company that the president is coming into office, and you know, a big chunk of his campaign was he's going to spank them because they're charging too much for Air Force One. The F-35 contract is outrageous. And as soon as he gets in there, the company is like double in price. And everything they do is fine. And this has to be the best 2 years in Boeing's existence after this guy was going to essentially put him out of business, which obviously didn't happen. And Apple
right.
is in the middle of this, somehow in the middle of this China situation. And yet somehow, somewhere, somebody seems to know that in the middle of hurling insults back and forth for the Chinese, that Apple has a get-out-of-jail-free card. Somehow, or at least people think that, which I guess they do.
Either that or they believe that this new phone, which to me, my understanding, doesn't do much different than the old ones, is going to be a huge seller. So, I don't know.
They well, if it's 1,200 hours.
Issue. I know. It's ridiculously priced.
But somehow you would think if we actually, I think what yesterday did for everybody is say somewhere before the election or certainly before the end of the year, we're going to declare victory on this Chinese thing. They'll cave on one thing. We'll cave on two things. We'll only talk about the one they caved on, and we're good to go. Which, you
yep.
know, I'd rather have that than tariffs all over the place. But how many people here are going to be cut up by these tariffs first? Dairy farmers, the aluminum people. We still got the aluminum tariff in Canada, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that one we're keeping? And I'm assuming we're still keeping the one on timber, but I don't know that. That's probably the biggest one we have with them, right?
That's my understanding. It's the biggest one, but I'm not up on all my tariffs.
No, I got the thing for you. If you want to go through 285 pages.
Oh, I'm in.
And that's just our side. And who knows where they are on the other side.
Right, I mean, right.
And then who knows what changes on a daily basis, too. That's the other thing. So you almost have to keep a spreadsheet of this stuff and you know, change it accordingly on a daily basis to keep up with it.
You know what? We'll ask Jan Neal. Jan, what are other dairy spreads of a type provided in Chapter 4, Additional U.S. Note 1, subject to quota, pursuant to Chapter 4, Additional U.S. Note 10?
Legally spoke for something?
This is after one of the ones that actually you can know is butter substitute dairy spreads containing 45% or less butter fat by weight.
Okay.
Butter substitute dairy spreads over 45% butter fat, not subject to General Note 15, in excess of, quote, This is item number 0405-2030.
Okay, so just make your butter 45.1
Well, then you're in one or the other, then. You're in one or the other.
I think that the reason they split it at that is if you actually are in the processing food business, that the concentration of butter fat percentage to your milk determines whether you can go one direction or another and you have your come out.
You're all off on this. See, I can tell you don't bake. These are dairy spreads. These are things when you go in there. You see Land O'Lakes, 45% butter, 55% olive oil. I think that's what they're talking about.
I think that's what they're talking about, too. But still, when you but from a baking perspective, meaning these like huge Pepperidge Farm and those guys, when they're buying this, they can go one direction or the other, I believe, in some of their products. So I think that's where why the split is at that level.
Well, here's one with an asterisk, whatever the asterisk is, from Canada. Fresh, parentheses, unripened, uncured, Italian-type cheeses from cow milk, cheese substitutes, continued or processed therefrom, not subject to Chapter 4 U.S. Note 21 or GN 15. What in God's name?
That's a big bummer because that would include Cheese Whiz, so you're going to get a tariff on Cheese Whiz.
How did you get
on
Cheese
Whiz? That's kind of a bummer.
Since when is Cheese Whiz an Italian-type cheese? I was thinking about some kind of
Parmesan. No, but what did you say after that? You said some kind of like cheese substitute? Wasn't that part of it?
But you've never read General Note 15, and you don't know what Chapter 10 is. So how the hell do you
know? I'm going to be upset if my Velveeta
is gone. How do you know I don't know?
Well, that's right. You might. But I mean, I'm looking at this, and I'm going, what is all this stuff? I mean, it's a job for a lot of people, is what it is. All right, John,
IRS.
Yeah, we're on a Tuesday. I hope you bought. The S&P didn't come down that much, but S&P is the only one that has the Monday and Wednesday expiration, right? The Russell does not. I think it does not. So you really could have made a few shekels yesterday, probably buying puts in the morning on the SPY, but not very much. But if you could have got the Russell early. You got a nice turn in the Russell because it was originally up, right? And then it turned and finished down. At one point, it was down 1.5%, wasn't it?
Right.
Why did you see that divergence? You have any idea?
I have no idea. I mean, that's very strange dichotomy there, Tom.
I think a lot of it has to do with some of these big firms. The bigger firms either are benefiting from or can get around the tariffs. Where the small guys, if you drop a tariff on them, they're just screwed. Like, people in Indiana that Kevin knows that actually use aluminum and, things like that. And I think you're just skunked.
You're right. You could be right there. Hurt the, it's percentage wise going to hurt the smaller guy more than the big guy, right?
Well, it hurts the beer people because they have aluminum cans.
It does.
And they have, the kegs are steel, right? Aren't the kegs stainless steel?
Yeah. Sometimes I'm aluminum lined.
Does anybody even make a tin can anymore? I guess all your vegetable cans and stuff are still tin, aren't they?
Yeah, they're tin lined with plastic.
Eee.
Like a plastic kind of coating on them.
Most
of your canned goods are all tin there.
Yeah, but there's no such thing as nobody makes an aluminum a seam beer can anymore, do they? I don't think. They're all aluminum. They used to have seams in them, and it was ugh. So, John, we've got a bunch of stuff. 10-year yield. Let's start from the right side here. Get your opinions. 10-year yield. What do you guys think? Are we going north? Or are we going to sit between 3 and 3.10 for a while like we did between 2.90 and 3 like forever?
I think 3 and 3.10. It'll, vacillate in that.
You don't think we're going to start marching up?
No, I think we're going to be sideways. That's my opinion, though.
Oil, $75. Higher or lower? You got some people saying 85.90 and other people saying they're all nuts. We're going back down to 60.
I could see oil at 80, 85.
Yeah, that's a. What do you think if there was no politics, and Venezuela basically took their head out of their behind? What do you think the real world number would be, Jen? I won't tell you my vote. Steph, you too. What do you think if there was such a thing as a non-politically enhanced? In other words, Iran started to behave, so we let them produce oil, and Venezuela somehow got their act back together. What do you think the number would be?
Well, I mean, I think in some ways we saw aspects of it, in the last, during the Obama administration when a lot of these, like Iran was pumping and then Venezuela was actually doing something halfway decently. So, I mean, oil prices just plummeted because there was plenty of oil and, the demand didn't change dramatically. So I think you'd kind of be in that range.
Like where?
I don't remember.
We got below 40. I was going to say, I think
45 to 50.
Okay, I was going to say 50 to 52, somewhere in there. So we're all sort of in the same range.
Yeah.
I don't think it'd be below 40, though, Steph. I think too many places would fold. I think you'd go the other way. I think maybe 50, 55. I don't know.
The problem is oil at 40 makes it really unsustainable to actually pump it out of a lot of other places. So I agree with you on that perspective for sure.
Now, the question is, if you think, now here's what I'm trying to get as a trading strategy. If you think that something that's 75 could go to 85, all right, but you also know that if peace broke out, which I don't know if that's ever going to happen, that you might be 55 on the other end. If you buy it, I don't know that you just plain buy it. I think you got to do it in such a way, John, where you either, you know, do some kind of a call spread, or if you buy the stock outright, you got to protect it, because I mean, we basically said we get $10 to the up and 20 to the bottom in case, you know, various things happen. And, you know, it's hard to pile in here. I guess what I'm saying is all in, even though I happen to agree we are going to get to 85 first. But
there's volatility, but it's not so much. There's not so much of a spread that I think it's really going to be big winner.
You don't think it's a big winner here? Probably. Well, you can if you get another. Yeah, I'm thinking the XLE maybe what, John, 85. I don't think it's going to be 110. Do you?
No. I would say mid 80s is about what you look for.
All right, bud. We're going to try and beat the Rockies tonight. I don't know about that. SP Futures down 4. I'm sorry. Thank you, Steph. Thank you, Jay-Z. Nice job with all the people calling in.
Good night.
Back tomorrow. Yeah. Stacks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.